You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Your Family's Guilt Trip. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Over the years, they have become our friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus, you know, is the man who died, but Jesus brought him back to life. His sister Martha was a woman of great faith. When Lazarus had died, but before he was brought back to life, Martha said confidently, I know that he will live in the resurrection at the last day. But Martha is best known, as is her sister Mary, for the little story in Luke chapter 10. It goes like this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Imagine that. You have Jesus Christ actually sitting in your home, and you launch a zinger like that. It shows that this was a very normal family. The title of my message today is Your Family's Guilt Trip. In our family, there are many times when our daughters, Elizabeth and Katie, prefer to be away from Mom and Dad. While we usually don't mean to do it, we have the uncanny ability to send them on guilt trips. Elizabeth, when are you going to start studying for that bar examination? Katie, have you returned that form yet to the financial office at the university? Through questions like that, and in dozens and dozens of other conversations, we often send our children on guilt trips. We can't take credit for this ourselves. It's not something that we have worked at through the years. You see, we learned it from our parents. When we were small, growing up, they knew how to send us on guilt trips. Today, even though it's many years later and we are separated by hundreds of miles, our parents still send us on guilt trips. For example, I can hear my father's voice almost every time I walk into my garage. Dad died 13 years ago, but my conscience hears him saying to me, "Look at this garage! Dale, you've got to clean this up! This is where you are supposed to keep the car, not all this junk. You're not doing your car any good by leaving it out at night." Or I often hear my mother in my mind. She's alive and well, a vibrant woman. Mom, you know I love you. But she has this thing about short hair. She loves a crew cut. So any time that I look into a mirror and see that it's time, or past time, to go to the barber, I hear in my mind, Mom sending me on the haircut guilt trip. Paula and Dick Johnson give us a great quotation in their book, Guilt Free. Who can make you feel guilt faster than anyone in the world? Probably your mother, followed closely by your father, Aunt Minnie, your sisters and brothers, grandparents, and any other assorted relatives you may have scattered around. Parents definitely have the edge, though, when it comes to making the average adult child feel guilty. It's lucky parentally induced guilt don't pop out like boils. Most of us would be unable to sit down. How do they do it? How can they make us feel guilty so easily? It's simple. They are parents. And no matter how old we are always their children. They are accustomed to telling us what to do, and we are accustomed to responding. To be fair, It's not just parents who initiate guilt trips. Children can do it, too. Dad, the other kids get to do it. Why can't I? Mom, you know I need new gym shoes. Why can't we just go out and buy them? Yes, our daughters Elizabeth and Katie are becoming quite good at this. A new generation of guilt trippers. And brothers can do it, and sisters can do it. As Martha shows, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Typical family member, Martha was busy preparing a pity party, and she decided Jesus and Mary should feel guilty about it. When Jesus heard that, he as much as said, Martha, let's not go there. Here are his exact words. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus is not opposed to guilt trips. But here's the big point. Jesus wants you and your family to have short guilt trips. The best way to make sure that your family's guilt trips are of short duration is to sit at the Lord's feet and learn from Him the one thing needful. Earlier, I shared a quotation about family guilt. I found that quotation in a book by Dr. Becca Cowan Johnson. Her book is titled, Good Guilt, Bad Guilt. In this helpful book, she makes a distinction between two kinds of guilt. Bad guilt is undeserved guilt. It's feeling guilty when you really didn't do anything wrong. So, for example, if you are a young mother trying to raise small children while holding down a job, you should not feel guilty because your home is not as immaculate as your mother's house was. You are experiencing bad guilt. There may be good reasons to want a clean house, or in my case, a clean garage, but not to have it is not a sin. Cleanliness is next to godliness is not one of the Ten Commandments. Good guilt, on the other hand, is deserved. Here we are talking about breaking the Ten Commandments or any of the other instructions for living that God has given us in the Bible. Good guilt is the remorse you should feel when you have committed a sin against God's absolute standards. You and I are living in an age that has largely rejected absolutes. These days, everyone is doing his or her own thing. If you feel good about it, go ahead, people say. And then they add, but that's not for me. Whatever floats your boat. Everything is relative. And because everything is relative, many people do not have a standard by which they can evaluate their guilty feelings. Without that standard, a messy house, which really is not a major crime, can make a person feel as guilty as someone who has done something truly sinful. But that absolute standard exists, and it's about more serious things than cleanliness. Dr. Johnson illustrates both good guilt and bad guilt with the story of Marjorie and Bart, a story with more serious implications than the cleanliness of a house. Marjorie and Bart came in for marriage counseling after he had confessed to having an affair. He felt ashamed and guilty. So did she. As they expressed their feelings about their relationship, it became apparent that Marjorie's feelings of guilt were not well-founded. I feel like his affair is my fault, she said. I feel so guilty. I should be a better wife. Bart, on the other hand, felt guilty for lying to his wife and being unfaithful. Marjorie needed to let go of her undeserved guilt and deal with her feelings of inadequacy. Bart needed to let his guilt lead him to repentance and draw him closer to our forgiving, loving God. They both felt remorse. They both felt guilty. One was experiencing bad guilt, the other good guilt. Now, as I said, Jesus is not opposed to guilt trips, but he does want your family's guilt trips to be short. The way to do that is for you and yours to sit regularly at Jesus' feet. By so doing, you will develop both your children's and your own conscience. Dr. James Dobson writes, a person's conscience is largely a gift from his parents, from their training and instruction and approval and disapproval. The way that right and wrong are taught throughout the first decade of life will never be completely forgotten, even though it may be contradicted later. Developing an informed conscience means learning the absolutes. The absolutes include the Ten Commandments and all the other passages of guidance in the Bible. These were not given to us to be a burden. They come from a Creator who lovingly shows us how to live and what to do. Learning God's absolutes and sharing them with your family helps you all to evaluate and to deal with guilty feelings. It will teach you to recognize when you are feeling guilt for no important reason, bad guilt, as Dr. Johnson calls it. So my hair is too long, perhaps, but I'm not going to feel guilty about that as if it were a sin. Sitting with Jesus and learning God's absolutes can help you dismiss bad guilt. And good guilt? When you have a conscience informed by God's Word, you can make good guilt trips short guilt trips. Remember, good guilt comes from real sins, from our breaking of God's absolute standards. Bart, for example, experienced good guilt when he was remorseful about his affair and infidelity. This guilt becomes very good when it moves you to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the one thing that is most needful. That is that God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven your sins against His commandments. If God's law is absolute, and it is, His love for you is also absolute and even greater. That's why He sent Jesus, not only to teach right and wrong, but to die on the cross for the forgiveness of what you have done wrong, and to rise on Easter to assure you that you can live an abundant life now with the hope of heaven. That's the greatest input your conscience can receive. That's the greatest gift you can give your children. Sitting with your family at Jesus' feet teaches their consciences to know the one thing needful, God's forgiveness for you. St. Paul wrote a great verse that can help cut short what otherwise might turn into a long guilt trip for you and your family. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. Hang on to that verse when you are struggling with guilt, be it good guilt or bad guilt. It is interesting that the Bible does not speak about guilty feelings. The Bible does talk about the fact of guilt. The fact of sin has been forgiven in your life when you hang on to Jesus' word of forgiveness. When guilty feelings pop up, and you know as well as I do that they keep popping up, even though your sinful act has been forgiven, then hang on to these words: "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." What would Jesus do? That's become the popular question among Christians lately. What would Jesus do? That's a hypothetical question. I'll tell you what Jesus does. Jesus' word does direct you to the one thing needful. Jesus' word does cleanse your conscience when you have sinned. So when your family sends you on a guilt trip, what will Jesus do? With His cleansing word of forgiveness, He'll shorten your family's guilt trip and send you on to life with a clear conscience. That's not hypothetical Christianity. That is a fact. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.